Okay. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, June 4th of 2019. And I'm your host for this evening, the Miracle Man. And it's a really wild observation. Lately at this McDonald's, it had been super, super, super slow. Like, just insane. Like, we'd come up here and there'd be like hardly no cars in the drive-thru. And hardly no one in the building. Today, though, it's like all the floodgates open. There's a bunch of cars in the drive-thru, a bunch of people ordering. A lot of people here. I don't know why it'd be today, because there are still 3 days of school left. So.
I know, it's surprising.
No, I think I forgot to put it in
here. And I imagine all the high school kids are probably cramming like crazy.
Yep.
Knowing.
And the teachers are just praying for that last day to come.
You know, just knowing that the eternity test is coming. The eternity determining tests are coming Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Actually, no. Those are not the real tests. The real test is on Judgment Day. And that, where you'll be. But anyhow, we're so glad you could join us tonight. Wherever you may be, whatever device you may be using to access this radio program, whether it be an Android, an iPhone, a desktop or a laptop, an iPad. And about the desktop thing, I thought that desktops were like from the Stone Age and that no one used them anymore. Apparently someone that I know still actually uses it. Didn't you think a desktop was from the Stone Age now?
No.
I mean,
still have them in my classroom, actually.
My dad still has one.
Really?
Yeah. He's able to play 4K.
When was the last time you saw him use it?
Every day.
How old is it?
A couple years old.
Oh, really? They still make them?
Yeah.
It's just they're not in use. They're not in as many as they used to be.
A lot of people have laptops nowadays.
And now so many just use their phones for everything.
Yeah.
So many of us. Because I thought the desktop was dead. You know, just hiding in the back corner of the office somewhere, nobody using it. Crying for someone to come and use it. But apparently not yet. But got an announcement to make, and that is that Friday, June 7th, is in fact National Donut Day. Started in the 1930s, right in the middle of the Great Depression, from these dollies, who were the ladies who used to make donuts. Started in the Salvation Army of Chicago. Do you remember hearing about this in?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, but it started in the 1930s, the Salvation Army of Chicago. And since then.
What did you say, during the Great Depression?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And ever since then, every June, the first Friday of every June, it's been National Donut Day. Many places will be offering free donuts. Some others may not. But that's going to be wild, though. The last day of school being on National Donut Day.
Yeah.
In a way, that's got to be like once in a lifetime.
For real.
I mean, that Actually, that happened in 2003, June 6th of 2003. Back then, I didn't know it was National Donut Day, though. And then one year, we got done before National Donut Day, 2002. Those were the two times that we were the closest to National Donut Day as far as getting done on or before it. Was 2002, and then 2003. I don't know about 96, 97 when those got done, but I just want a nice, sweet, tasty, some kind of a peanut butter donut on Friday. Maybe not exactly peanut butter, but something unique. Something that, you know, you may not find every day. And who knows what I'll find, but me, the Miracle Man, I'm a big donut fan. I know good donuts when I see them. Same thing with a lot of other desserts and other things. By the way, they got this blizzard at Dairy Queen that called the Oreo Firework. What it is it's an Oreo Blizzard from Dairy Queen, a classic Oreo Blizzard with some Pop Rocks mixed in. And you hear the little Pop Rocks in your mouth. It's like the fireworks. And they actually had it a month early, as today is June 4th. And a month from today is July 4th. And I always love hearing the war zone on July 4th, hearing all those neighbors shooting up all those fireworks. I know some people just hate them. Well, you know, with a passion, but hey. You live in Michigan, we've had fireworks illegal now for 7 years. Seven. And I know people say it's become a war zone, but
I love it.
Me too. What's the better war zone on the 4th, here or City of Detroit? What's the better
city
war
zone? It's a real war zone.
on the 4th, I mean.
Yeah, Detroit for sure. And
that's like a warrior fireworks. We're here on the 4th, and your mind, is that just a little whimper?
Yeah.
I mean, on the 4th. That's kind of like when you're at church and pastor says, and then everybody here just whimpers, you know what I mean?
Nope.
We're down there, do they whimper?
Nope, never.
Down there, it'd be like, no, the whistles are blowing and everything else.
Yep.
They don't even have to say it, they just do it. They just start going off.
Yep.
Like they're just doing it, and they're all going off, even at midnight or 1 a.m, do you bet?
Yeah.
Have you been in other states on the 4th?
Chicago.
Me, let me think of the.
Oh, and Dallas.
I've been in Cincinnati area twice, Chattanooga, Atlanta area, and as far as out of state, yeah, Cincinnati twice. One time Kentucky side, in Florence, other time was in Westchester, Ohio, believe it or not. First year was in Ohio side, the other year was the Kentucky side. Back to back years, believe it or not. And then, like I said, Chattanooga, Atlanta. I've been here quite a few times. Another time I was in a hotel, but it was in like, so five different times that I know of that I've been somewhere else on the fourth night. And in Holden Lake, believe it or not, I didn't hear any fireworks.
Really? That's surprising.
In Cadillac the night before, I heard them. That was okay. The night of the Bay City fireworks, though, they don't went for there either.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's just as good as City of Detroit on the 4th, would you say?
On the 4th, maybe.
You would say just about as good, you feel like?
Yeah.
But as I was saying last night, I have no idea. I wish there was a way to know. Why do I feel like a lot of the residential in these cities isn't near hotels?
I don't know.
I mean, how do you know where to find out where the neighborhoods are?
I don't know.
You know to kind of see what's their war zone like. Do you imagine in some of those cities near the freeway it gets pretty crazy?
Yeah.
The ones near like by Midland Mall, you'd probably have no idea.
Exactly. You really wouldn't.
Like if I was a resident, if I was a visitor on the 4th, I probably wouldn't hear nothing. And if I did, I would just be a little whimper.
Yep.
It wouldn't be whereas by McDonald's, by this McDonald's, you'll hear that all the neighborhood fireworks. You know?
Yeah.
So it's a bit different. And it's hard to find a house directory to see how close they are. But you can find businesses, but you can't really find housing neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to try to judge, because, like I said, on the 4th, I don't know for sure yet. Because I might be going down to see. No. And who knows, listeners? Anyhow. But, like I said, it is in the mid-70s outside today. We did manage to hit 77. For the rest of the week, it looks to be in the 70s, including Super Saturday, 77, looks to be. I call it Super Saturday because that's the day Plymouth opens. And I'm hoping Mother Nature can squeeze in a little present and get it up to 80. It says sunny, actually. It doesn't say mostly sunny. It says sunny. The only concern is that Friday night says lower 50s. And my hope is it can be like mid-50s, how it can go to the low 80s. And then it can just be so clear out. I could see there being 100 on Saturday I could see there being 100 people on Saturday if it's even 78 because it's the first day. I could see 100. Could you? I could, especially with no school. Now, listeners, a couple things real quick. Before I pray and then open up the Word of God. And that is this. On these warm summer days, you are always able and welcome to go to a McDonald's near you and pick up an any size soft drink for just a dollar. Any size you choose, whether you go with the small, the medium, or the large one. And then, of course, as always, price and participation may vary. Tax extra, the store producer. And, of course, cannot be combined with any other offer, discount, or combo. Now, I want to make sure that I show you, tell you how you can tell others how they can be a part of this great show. We'll believe in God for listeners. For more listeners to come to this radio program. And so, that's why I take a minute to tell you listeners how you can tell others how they can be a part of it. And what you can have them do is choose a live number where they can call to be a part of the show. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. You'll want to go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken to a call screener. My assistant will let me know that we have a caller. And then we're going to let you on the air. And you're welcome to talk about generally anything you wish to discuss, as long as it's not political. We can talk sports. We can talk about, you know, what your favorite donuts are. We can talk about food. If you need prayer for anything, I'll be more than happy to pray with you. You want a testimony? You got a testimony that you want to share? By the way, it is Testimony Tuesday, and so if you want to share a testimony, you can feel free to share that with me, and we can thank the Lord together. And prayerfully, we can get some great callers tonight. All right. We're going to pray. And I'm going to open it up to Acts chapter 18 and 19. We're going to pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show. I thank you for these listeners, these wonderful listeners who have made the choice to be a part of this great radio program tonight, wherever they may be listening, however they may be joining this program. And I just thank you, Lord God. These people have a heart to receive and the ears to hear of your great word, Father God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you bless them. Join us. I thank you, Lord God, that you use me tonight as an oracle. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to just interrupt me whenever you wish to be seen. And now, Lord Jesus, I make my confession over this show. I confess that in the name of Jesus, that finances are coming into this radio program, sponsors and partners are coming in to help us through the work of God. I thank you that increases in listenership are coming into this radio program. And most important of all, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that souls are coming into the kingdom. Well, via this radio show, a great big harvest of souls. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. All right. As I said, we're going to Acts chapter 18. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his word. You got your Bible? Go ahead and turn with me. Because don't just, this is not a stadium. We want you to be participators, not just spectators. Thank you, Lord. Just giving you a moment to find your place there. The Acts 18. And we're going to begin in verse 1. And whatever I do here, I want to encourage you to follow along and do it with me. We'll begin with verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all of the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own head. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Tertius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack you. No one is going to attack an army, because I have many people in this city. I, Paul, stayed for a year and a half. teaching them the Word of God. While Galileo was proconsul of Tyre, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him into court. This man, it says, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. As Paul was about to speak, Galileo said to the Jews, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and nations and your own law, settle the matter yourself. I will not be a judge of such things." So he had them ejected from the court. Then they all turned on the synagogue ruler and beat him in front of the court. But Galileo showed no concern. Verse 18. And Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and he sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Caesarea because of a vow that he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. As he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." He set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. You know, right next to Cashville. Wait a minute. Oh, I forgot. Cashville's not in the Bible, is it? Oh, they went down to Antioch. And by the way, John, if you're not paying attention, Cashville, that's actually a nickname for Nashville. That's what that is. That's what that's about. Paul went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul sent out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. So, he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arrival, he was a great help to those who the grace had believed. For he rigorously refused the Jews Republic to this, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Chapter 19, verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There, he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And so Paul asked, "What baptism did you receive?" John's baptism. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue, spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became absent. They refused to believe.
How many were there?
And they publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of China. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken by the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus, I know. And I know about Paul. Jesus, I know. Paula, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And when this became known by the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was heard and held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and they burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. And this way, the word of the Lord spread wildly and grew in power. After all this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. "After I have been there," he said, "I must visit Rome." He sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Titus, to Macedonia, while he stayed in the province of Asia a little bit longer. Verse 23. "About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith that was named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business for the craftsmen. He called them together, along with the workmen in related trades, and said, 'Men, you know we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. And the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty.' When they heard this, they were furious. And they began shouting, 'Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!' Soon, the whole city was in an uproar. The people seized guys. And our puppet, Paul's traveling companion from Macedonia, and rushed as one man into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture in to the theater. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. The Jews pushed Alexander to the front, and some of the crowd shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. When they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours. Raise out and stop the Ephesians. The city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Men of Ephesus, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image which fell from heaven? Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to be quiet, not do anything threat. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our God. If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a grievance against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. They can press charges. If there is anything further that you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because of today's events. In that case, we would not be able to account for this commotion, since there is no reason for it." After he had said this, he dismissed the assembly. We just shut. All right. Now, I'm going to drive the car back a little bit. I want to show you Acts 19, 11, and 12. It says here, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken by the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. That's where we find that prayer cloths were used. And some of you may wonder, you know, what on earth is this was that whole prayer cloth thing all about? It's a point of contact. Exactly what it is. It's a point of contact. But God is extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him, people gave him these aprons and these handkerchiefs. And then they were taken by him.
Sure.
They were taken to the sick. So it would be like if there was a prayer cloth. Let's just say, yeah, I go to church, and then while I'm there, I'll just say, someone I know is very sick. Someone maybe that goes to church, they can't be in the service. I'll get them a prayer cloth. I take it to him. And I pray over that person. What? But their prayer cloth is the point of contact. That person may be, that person, you know, just could be just placing their hand on that person. And then they can get healed. Just like that. Because like I said, that prayer cloth, it's a point of contact. And if prayer cloths had no value, if they had no value, I don't think anyone would use it. It's very obvious, though, that they do have that. I know of people who have been healed as a result of prayer cloth. And a prayer event. And something's coming to my mind. It's a nugget that I heard recently. You believe in God for a miracle, you have to speak that miracle forth that you believe in God for. You got to speak it. God knows what you have needed. God knows about everything. If you went to the doctor yesterday and they find a bump, they examine it and they say, now this is not benign. It is malignant. You have, well, God knows. He already knows that him has a passive body. He wants to hear you speaking for that healing with your mouth. Can't just sit there and be passive and be silent in your mouth, even if you don't tell anyone else. God needs to hear you. Calling forth that miracle, healing, that you're asking him for. He wants to hear you say, by his stripes we were healed. And in the name of Jesus, my cancer is gone. My blindness is gone. My deafness is gone. And whatever you believe in God for. I believe, God, that I can speak. I believe, God, that I have the network. I have it on my, I have. And you just call forth those things. But or not, as though they are. Well, faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
I don't know.
By the way, that's Hebrews 11, verse 1. The evidence. I'm evidence. You know, four different times the spirit of death started to come upon me when I was a little guy. But every time that spirit came, Jesus won. And we won. If it had not been for Dr. Buckley, along with the Holy Spirit, I can just have you guarantee you that I wouldn't be here. Because these doctors sold my mom. We can give Rivers a shot. But I'll put him in. My mom called Dr. Buckley. And he said, oh, Julie, I've known you as such a scrappy woman. Spider. He said, you're not going to give up now, are you? She said, no, I'm not. And I can guarantee you she was crying. I should have been. Yeah. Well, she told him, no, don't give him. Don't stop. And here I am to the stage. Walking, talking, miracle. A walking miracle. That's what I am. That's part of why he called this program the Miracle Man. I've had so many miracles in my life. And I'm believing God. I'm going to see my eyesight. And I'm going to see all these other things because I'm believing God to do so. And I'm believing God. Healing power, all of Gilead is going to continue to be made in my life. And I just keep on believing. But he will do. What he said in his word. How do you have this faith? Well, faith comes from hearing the word of God. Also, when you get born again, you are given a measure of faith. Amen. A measure of faith. but you got to keep hearing the word of God. This is why going to church is so important. Because you're building your faith. By the way, listeners, you're building your faith up right now just by listening to me teach you the word of God. I think of Vicki Buckley. By the way, the Buckley Pack family is another example of a family that has had struggles, has walked them all out by faith. And they live by faith now. I think of Vicki when she went through that cancer fight just over 10 years ago. They walked by faith. They examined themselves. They examined their life to make sure that there were no hedges broken. They also lived by faith, stuck to the word. She was healed in less than 40 days. No cancer left in her body. Amen. Similar thing happened to Dr. Buckley's son's wife a couple years later. When Dr. Buckley's son, he had a son, and then there was talk for his kid to be blind and in a wheelchair for life. It wasn't looking so good. Well, guess what? That son is not blind. He is perfectly normal. You know why? That family walks by faith. That family tithes. That family does not break hedges. I think of Dr. Buckley's daughter. Is one of their daughters. And their kid is having a graduation party. And she gets her head tangled in a little pool filter type thing. She ends up turning blue. Ends up being not quick. Her dad sees it. Gets her out of the pool. And she's not moving. Oh, but God. But God. They spoke life into that girl. They spoke life into that girl. And she ended up getting in the hospital. They get to the hospital and they're like, where's our drowning victim? Where's the girl who drowned? Yeah, it's her. Oh, but she's laughing and she's... All that kind of stuff that I like. Yeah, it's her. That is nothing short of the miracle working hand of God. Present. That family. John and James Randolph. John and James basically. We're tithers. We're givers. We give into the house of God.
All right, I'll be there Friday.
They just examine themselves to see what was going on. Sure enough, they weren't breaking any hedges. The devourer had come to try to devour, take out them. He lost. The devil can think he has you. You've got to take authority over him. You've got to bind him. You feel sickness and disease coming on your body? You need to curse it and bind it in the name of Jesus. Take authority over it.
Yeah.
You've been paid for it, Calvary. I bind you, sickness, in the name of Jesus. Or if he tries to take your finances, he tries to take anything else. You just got to bind that evil spirit. You got to bind it. So you just got to open that door and kick Satan right out of your house. And don't you dare let him back in. He'll steal your family. He'll steal your marriage. He'll take out one of your kids. But guess what? He's worthless. He's no good. He's just and I just think about when Jesus puts his foot down on the Mount of Olives after the tribulation period, the devil will be bound forever and ever and ever and ever. He won't be able to hurt us no more. He won't be able to destroy us. 1,000-year reign will begin. Like I said, the devil won't be able to be the destructive force. Study. and all that stuff that tried to take me out when I was little, that was the devil. And if we can't, you know, if we can't get in to you one way, I'll try another. Can't get you that way, I'll try another. You'll just keep trying. But we can't let him. We can't let him come in and try to destroy us. He's powerless. Jesus is the Almighty. He wants to save your soul. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And when I think of his goodness, when he, what he's done for me. When I think of his goodness, how he set me free, I just want to thank the Lord. I just thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you saved my soul. I thank you, Jesus, that you kept me alive. I thank you, Jesus, that Jesus, that you live on the inside of me. I thank you, Jesus, that I know who I am believing. I thank you, Jesus, that in you I move. I mean, I live in you, Jesus. I live and move and have my peace. That through you, Jesus, I have strength. Through you, Jesus, I have everything I need. Through you, Jesus. It is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Against all oath, all hope, against all odds, I will trust in you totally. But though the lions roar, but though my enemies rage against me, I will not give up. I will not give in. No matter how hard it is. I just thank the Lord that he's on my side. He's fighting for us. He's pushing back the darkness. I just thank the Lord right now. I hope that you are too, because sometimes it just got to take some time. Thank the Lord. Just kind of make mention of him, his name. God is fighting back the night, but God lighting up the kingdom that is not shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated. Yes, Lord. I will live and not die. I will be healthy and not sick. I will run and not grow weary. I will walk and will not faint.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff you should be saying. Instead of saying, I got this really bad disease. I got this really bad report from the doctor. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. That whole thing of I will walk. I mean, I will run and not grow weary. I will walk and will not faint. And everything. Oh, God is fighting for you. You know, God, in the name of Jesus, I am healed. That's the kind of stuff you should be saying over yourself. God wants to hear you calling forth those things that are not. Yes, He does. And when the enemies find a war against us, we got to fight back. With the word of God.
I was being totally honest.
With everything that I've been saying, you know, about how God is fighting for us. You know, you fight Him. You know, you fight the enemy with the praise. You fight the enemy with the shout. You fight the enemy.
Yeah.
When you worship God. And you just got to take authority over the enemy. Even though it may look like I'm surrounded by Jesus.
Guys, almost here.
Yes. Amen. God's good. Thank you just for letting me share. That was really what I was talking about. You know, story of prayer cloth and what happened in my life. I gave some examples of these other people. The first family of Living Word Church. I did that to show you what a miracle working, the miracle work is that our God is. And then I just started to magnify the Lord to show you the kinds of things that you should be saying over yourself instead of putting yourself down. Because putting yourself down is really going to hurt you really bad. It is. Don't call yourself ugly. Just call yourself healed. I thank you, Lord God, that we would just get this word that we read tonight. We would just get the message that I gave, Lord God, that we would all get this all of it in our spirits, and that we would remember. about making the good, making a good confession. And we give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Christmas sports. The Tigers open up a series tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays in Detroit. I forget his picture tonight, but they play tonight. They play tomorrow night at 7:10, and then they play on Thursday night. Thursday at 1:10, excuse me, in Detroit. After which, they will host Minnesota Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Keep in mind, the Tigers right now are battling the injury bug. And well, my hope is that we can start winning some more games on a more regular basis. Hopefully there's some really good guys in Toledo that can really step it up and be ready to come. Have you been to Toledo Mud Hens before or no?
Nope.
Those are the guys that sometimes are really close to coming to Detroit.
Yeah.
Yep, because they're AAA, like how Detroit's regular, and then of course, I've heard that the Mud Hens are really popular. Haven't you heard that before? Yes, they are, and I'm just hoping that I'm still liking that Mize picture. I'm really liking him. I think that he could be coming maybe next year, if not 2021. So that has me feeling hopeful that we can get a really good picture back in there. NBA Finals. Actually, believe it or not, folks, I made the mistake. I told you that it was started in Golden State. That's where it started the last few years, but it actually started in Toronto. But it was in Golden State. I mean, I thought it started in Golden State, but it started in Toronto. Game 3 and 4, both of them, are tomorrow night. And Saturday or Friday?
I think that.
Because right now they're doing that thing of that it's on every third day. And it'll be games 3 and 4 will be in Oakland, California. Game 5 will be back in Toronto. The series is tied at 1 game apiece. The Warriors took game 2. So the Warriors are going to be going back into their house with the momentum, knowing they just won the previous game. I think they'll win at the very least one of the 2 games in Oakland, possibly both. You should be able to hear that game tomorrow night on ESPN 100.9 FM. 9 o'clock tip-off, I believe. Yep, I believe it's. I believe it's the 9 o'clock tip-off. And I think of Draymond Green, Stephen Curry. I think it would be nice if we could get Draymond Green to come back to Michigan, his home state. He was such a powerhouse at Saginaw, and then he did such a good job at Michigan State. Only problem is Moolah. The Pistons don't want to pay the money for him. What is up with all the Detroit teams being cheapskates right now?
Good question.
Cheapskates don't win you ball games. In the world of, and I understand there's no I in team. There is no I in team. Nope. At the same time, you got to pay to have a good team. Unless you got a great talent, developmental talent system. Obviously, football doesn't really have that. But, you know, you got to. Even Steve Eisenman said, it's going to take time to get the Red Wings back to where they used to be. And so we're going to have to keep hoping. Because right now, as it stands right now, Detroit is not in the greatest shape as far as sports teams are concerned. Whereas Boston, it hasn't been much better. I mean, pretty much rarely nowadays are any of Boston's teams at the bottom. Get it? Boston bottom? Kind of sounds like it, but they're not. And even back in the, there was a time where there, it's never been where all of them were at the bottom. Right now, like, they're all, some of the Detroit teams, none of the Detroit teams are necessarily dead last, if you know what I mean. But some of them are kind of on the cusp. Like, if they make the right choices. The Pistons make the right choices and get a couple good guys. They could be in it to win it. I'm not saying they would make it that far, but a couple good trades, I think, could help.
Yeah.
We'll just have to wait and see what goes on. Obviously, the Tigers, though, they really need work. They're, I said, I think Brother Mize, as the pitcher, can come in there and help us. If he ends up getting to be a starter. Obviously, to me, he'd be the other Brother Mize. Because there's a Terry Mize, who's a preacher, Pastor Terry Mize, who comes to Living Word every once in a while to preach. But this Brother Mize is a pitcher. That would be funny, wouldn't it? Like, say, next year, on Friday, I go to see Dr. Brother Mize pitch, and on Sunday, Pastor Terry Mize has come to Living Word to preach. That'd be funny, wouldn't it? It'd be like I saw Brother Mize twice this week. I know, right? We'll just have to wait and see. And I hope that pitcher can pitch as good as Terry Mize preaches. If he does, that could really help us. And we could get back in there. And then if I was the coach, I'd be thinking, man, we should just have Mize pitch every game. But we'd have to get some run scores too, because if they don't want to help him, that won't help us that much. So, listeners, until tomorrow, God first, God always. So long. I'll see you all tomorrow night.